Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome. I am still thrown off by Elon Musk telling us that you need to have verification to stream straight to Twitter. So sometimes when the error pops up now, I'm very confused by it. But nonetheless, we are here. This is Fightful's post show for this week's episode of SmackDown. Of course, if you are confused, I am not Kate. I am Phil Lindsay, usually co-host of Grapsody. But I am also here with regular Alex Cordoza. What's going on, bro?
What's up, Phil? First time that I'm actually doing a show with you, so I'm super excited. And I did kind of just say, you know, you could pass for Kate. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to,
I don't think that
just,
I can.
You could push some bangs out there, you know.
Nah, I don't think that I can. I think you would be very confused by that. But you know, as usual, send in your super chats if you want to be a part of the conversation. And you can also send us your Humper Chats at humperchats.com/Fightful. But yeah, let's get into this because quite a bit happened on this episode of SmackDown. This is my first time reviewing SmackDown on Fightful, but usually it's kind of like my preferred viewing because it's easy breezy. It's a quick 2 hours. You can get through it and move on with the rest of your Friday. It's not like Raw where it feels like you got to commit an entire evening to it.
And tonight's SmackDown, because it was taped, felt just fast-paced to me. Especially, yeah. Well, except for the middle there when we had a 10-segment match. But other than that, yeah, you're 100% correct. There's so much. Me and Kate usually just kind of just has such a great time here because it is such a fun show now to go over. There was a time there for the last almost year and a half, 2 years there that just SmackDown felt like it was dragging.
Yeah, I agree. I think this definitely felt like a taped episode. It felt like the parts that were supposed to be fast paced were fast paced. Even the gauntlet match, which was supposed to eat up a lot of time, it seemed like they moved through each spot of the gauntlet pretty quickly. It didn't feel like it was one of those plotting gauntlet matches.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And I tell this to Kate every week. There's some like winners and losers sometimes that I just get upset at. But I'm pretty sure we're gonna get to it as we run down the show.
Yeah, I have thoughts for sure. Before we get into that, I just wanted to take some time to send some condolences to Sean Ross Sapp's good friend. His father just passed away recently, and he's got a GoFundMe out there to support him. So if you wanted to, if you can give anything to it, support Darren Ray Pollock's funeral costs, please do. Sean has retweeted that on his page. I will actually also retweet it from my account so you can see it. But yeah, support if you can.
Yes. Very, very sad. His best friend's dad passed away. So condolences being sent over there. Never want to hear it, but yeah.
Yeah, always very unfortunate. I've had a bunch of funerals and stuff recently.
Hard
to get used to, just like getting older and just people are, you know, checking out. It's hard. But yeah, again, condolences to his family. Hopefully everybody is in good spirits with this. Never really a good time to lose a loved one.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, let's get into this episode of SmackDown. So we started out straight away with the backstage segment with the Bloodline and Nick Aldis. And Tonga Loa is still wearing this comically large bandage under an eye patch. And Nick Aldis is telling them that they're going to have to forfeit their spot in the gauntlet match because they don't have two wrestlers. And Solo's like, no. Jacob is going to take his spot. And then Jacob comes in with the prayer hands. He's like, I got you, boss. So yeah, what did you think about just this segment? I felt like it was kind of predictable based on a few weeks ago when DIY had the title match to end the show and then Jacob came out there and cleared the ring. I felt like, yeah, Jacob's probably going to be in the tag title picture soon.
Yeah, they really want to push Jacob, and I think that's, I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, the man's friggin' incredible in the ring, outside the ring. He can talk, he can act, as you can tell with his, like you said, with the prayer hands. Ken, I tell Kate all the time, he's just such a great supporting actor in the background. You always see him making faces, or he's praying up to the skies, and he's just like, you know, showing so much emotion. And I think he's like the perfect guy that they used for, you know, to replace him. And it's kind of weird, right? So early in this group, you already have someone being replaced in the lineup, sort of say, you know, like I would have thought that maybe they would have wanted to build up Tama and Tonga, you know, like as much as possible, but we're already kind of switching people out, and it's, you know, and I'm pretty sure it's because Jacob gets like a reaction from people.
Yeah, that's kind of been the overriding theme of this episode of SmackDown. Of the biggest match on this show was the gauntlet match, and so your inference should be that, hey, this is a show that's focused on tag team wrestling. But we got a few hints several times in this episode. It's like, well, how much do you really care about tag team wrestling? Because you have a tag team in this stable, and you're not focused on them as an actual tag team. And they're a pretty good tag team. Like, they have all this history over in Japan. Like, they've won multiple tag leagues. They've won multiple championships. And straight away you go, well, Jacob's the hot guy. He's the guy we want to push. So we're going to insert him into the tag picture. And it sure seems like they have the plan to make this guy like the real legitimate star of this stable. And that's for several reasons. Not only does he come out and have like the big beatdown moments where he looks the coolest out of them. I mean, he already looks more dynamic than the other three as is.
Most def.
But they've gone out of their way to make him look like the coolest guy. He gets the biggest entrance. He gets all of the big offense in the matches, which I don't mind because Jacob is a star and I'm glad that he is getting a spot. But also, you got a tag team. Why don't you just push them as a tag team?
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's at least that's the way I look at it when I'm thinking about the group, you know, with Jacob being the heavy for a Solo, the other two guys should be able to hold their own. And you're already kind of just like moving pieces around. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing, but I found it kind of weird that they kind of moved them out. And it looked like, and we'll get to it, but Jacob kind of just like ran house all by himself anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, they had already set that up in that beatdown 2 weeks ago with DIY, and I assumed that that's where we were going with this, but just seeing it, I was like, okay, so we're not going to push GOD as a tag team. That's an interesting choice, but not mad at it for Jacob, because again, he is a big star, and I think he is going to run with this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, straight away right after that, we got into LA Knight taking on Santos Escobar. This was a pretty good match. I thought it was interesting during the match on commentary. Commentary started saying things that I was thinking as the match started. I was like, wait, you know, Santos is pretty good. He's actually great. And it's wild how fast he seems like he's kind of got lost in the shuffle. And it is like it's a crowded roster, but at the same time, Santos is really good. It seemed like you had something going with him going into WrestleMania. You had a big angle with him. And since then, he's kind of like dropped off of the pecking order.
He's 100% fizzled out. I'm a huge Santos Escobar supporter. You know, I've been very lucky to become friends with him outside of the wrestling world and, you know, working on some projects. And it's just, you know, outside of that, before that even happened, I was such a big fan of his and someone who came from NXT, and I wasn't really like big into NXT, kind of seeing him come in and bring Legado de Fantasma back together, you know, and just kind of doing his thing. Man, my love for him as a performer and a wrestler like just grew. And I've been a big, big supporter of push the man. Let's do something with him. Because I tell Kate this all the time. I don't want the next Rey Mysterio, because Rey Mysterio is eventually going to fade out. I want the next Santos Escobar. I want the next whomever in the Latin community to kind of uprise and take over, you know, like the Eddie Guerreros of the world. Everyone gets compared to him, but at the end of the day, I would like some of these Latin stars to become their own entity and these big, you know, bigger than life performers, just like they treat everyone else who's on top of the roster.
Yeah, I agree. And it seemed like they were heading into that direction last year. They did a lot with him and Ray. They had the thing where they exchanged masks at one point. They had like the big heel turn for him, and then that turned into what it looked like him starting his own faction and going off on his own. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't really led for anything for him or those other guys. And I think all of those guys are extremely talented. I mean, also, where is Dragon Lee? We don't see Dragon Lee at all.
Where, I mean, like, he's another one. They put so much emphasis behind him, and he just fizzled away as well. Like, I don't know, like, where he's at. I haven't heard anything about injuries or anything of that sort, but, like, where are we? Like, what are we doing with these guys, you know?
I would really like to see more with those guys, but I thought it was just interesting to bring that up because commentary talked about it. And I was like, huh, that's interesting, because I'm sitting here thinking the same thing. But yeah, I love the way they started this. They started backstage with LA Knight. He cut like a small mini promo, and then the camera followed him into Gorilla. And, you know, he talked a little bit more. And listen, this guy's main selling point is his ability to talk. I thought that started off the show really well. I was hyped for him coming out. His entrance was still hot. The crowd still loves this guy. I think at one point people were wondering, is there still like a love for LA Knight? Because for whatever reason, people keep trying to throw this Rock Light allegation on him. And so when the actual Rock was there, some people were saying, well, now that we have the actual Rock, what do we need LA Knight for? But this guy continues to be extremely over. He continues to be extremely charismatic. I thought he got the best he could out of that promo segment this week. And I thought he wrestled a pretty good match tonight.
Yeah, LA Knight to me, he's another one. You're kind of buying time with him, as you know, we've been very fortunate that he hasn't had any type of like insane injury or anything like that. He's also another, you know, great talent who's catching up there in age as well. Let's do something. You know what I'm saying? I'd hate for this man to be going match to match to match to match, and kind of looks like it's heading that way, and kind of not like putting a strap on him to elevated or, you know, do something of importance for all of us. Like, we care about him as a wrestler. We're all doing the catchphrases and the singing along, but I want to feel a little bit more.
Yeah. I thought the match was fine. I thought it was a solid match. Of course, they did some more building into the match with Logan Paul. Logan Paul came out and tried to distract LA Knight. Didn't end up working. LA Knight still picked up the win over Santos. But afterwards, Logan Paul jumped in the ring and jumped him. I'm ready for Logan Paul to drop that belt to LA Knight.
Same.
I feel like it's time. And that's not like Logan Paul is doing anything that bad, but I'm just kind of done with him being a part-time champion where he's not there. I'm ready for them to strap up Logan Paul. I mean, not Logan Paul, but LA Knight. And it feels like LA Knight is kind of overdue. LA Knight's been hot over a year. So, yeah, just put the belt on him.
It's not that hard. And, you know, what has Logan Paul had? Two defenses, I think. Am I wrong about that? Maybe a little bit more, but... it hasn't seemed like in the last 600 days as he's held this title that he's done a whole lot to it. Yeah, he takes the title places. Yeah, they talk about him. But, you know, you can't go to a UFC event and get the same fanfare. You're owned by the same company. You're not going outside of the bubble to expose the title and WWE. You're in the same bubble now. So you're going to all these events and like, oh, my God, is the United States champion. Most of these wrestlers, when they go out there and become champs, they're doing things outside of the community to kind of bring in the eyes. So I'm with you, man. I'm not a big Logan Paul personal person. Like, I like him, but he's opened up my eyes in the wrestling world. He's carried on really well there. But outside of that, man, I'm just like, let's go. Let's move it along. Give LA Knight something fun to do.
Yeah, I mean... Of course, Logan is incredibly athletic.
Yes.
He's taken to wrestling very well. I'm just kind of ready because I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think you're right. I think there's been about three title matches so far.
Okay.
Because I know he defended it against Kevin Owens there with the multi-man match at Royal Rumble.
And Saudi Arabia? No, that was a title match with
that was a title match
against Cody, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a world title match. He didn't actually put his title on the line in that match.
There you go.
And then he was in the qualifying match for the Money in the Bank. So yeah, actually, he's only had two title defenses. I thought it was three. It is only two.
Shoot.
That Royal Rumble match was definitely a match. I was there for that match. It wasn't. That great.
you were in attendance.
Yeah.
What do you think about him live? How is he live as a performer? I understand like camera angles are different, right? Because you're kind of you got a 7-second delay and you're able to kind of like mask away certain things. So you're seeing a lot of great action on television. How is it live with seeing him there?
The Royal Rumble match was very. I don't think that it was a good representation of what he does in the ring. Because it was a lot of working a hand injury. Because if you remember, that was when Kevin Owens had the cast on. There was a lot of work in that throughout the match. And it just didn't really... I know what it's supposed to do. He does get good heat in front of the live audience. But for me, it wasn't really it. He's wrestled much better matches. Like, I thought the match with Cody was very good. But that Royal Rumble match didn't really do it for me.
Gotcha. fair enough, man.
I think he's a good wrestler, and I do think the match at SummerSlam will be good. But I'm ready for them to put that.
We're ready, LA Knight. Most deaf. Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Of course, guys. As usual, send in your super chats if you have any. We've got Naomi's segment right after this. They recapped a segment from last week where Naomi came after her match with Blair Davenport. Blair Davenport, for whatever reason, shook her hand and was saying, yeah, don't worry about it. We're all good now. And then she just came back and jumped her anyway. And then it cut back to Naomi this week. And Naomi's like, I don't even know why she did that. I've never done anything to this girl. I don't know what her problem is. And I kind of felt the same way. I was like, what was that even for? Like, I get it. You're the heel. But what is your actual issue with Naomi other than I'm just not supposed to like her?
Sure. Yeah. I didn't understand that either. It felt like, you know, we talk about things being rushed and whatever. That was just like went from 0 to 100 for no reason.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. It's a good way to give Naomi kind of a filler feud for now, because she's not in the title picture. And the other two wrestlers that she is attached to, and Bianca and Jade, are also in the mix for tag titles. So this just gives her a way to stay on TV. It gives her a match to have, and I'm fine with it. But that was a very weird segment last week where I was like, okay, why did they do any of that?
yeah. Like, a lot of us like to say, where's the story? So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was a good way at least to keep Naomi on television. Right after that, of course, Jade and Bianca walked by and they gave her her encouragement before they headed back out to the ring to call out the tag champions. It feels like it's been forever since they lost the tag titles. And like they're just now finally getting back to getting their rematch. That was an interesting bit from this show as well. They went out and they called out the current champions, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. Usual baby face faces the Titantron, calls out the heels. Heels come behind and beat them up and try and get the upper hand. But I thought at least Jade and Bianca showed a lot of good chemistry like they always do. They still look like a great tag team. Mm-hmm. They, of course, got the upper hand. I thought the gorilla press to the outside looked good. Left them standing tall and set up the tag title match for next week.
Yeah, I hope that they don't lose the titles. I think it was overdue for Isla Dawn and Fire, but God, like Bianca and Jade are powerful duo, man. Like, who could beat them? No one should be able to beat them. There should be a ladder that needs to be climbed by certain individuals to, like, you know, like back in the day in wrestling, tag team wrestling back in the day was something else, man. Teams had to beat the crap out of each other to kind of, you know, to get to that, to the champions. And then the championship match was off the hook. You know, like you would see these incredible matches back in the day. And I hope they do that more with the women. It's been kind of blah, man, as of late. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't want them to lose the titles, but how else do they beat Bianca and Jade unless some, you know, they play around and have their trickery.
Yeah, they're in a bit of a conundrum here because I've been saying for about 4 years now that the biggest issue with the women's tag division is there are no real rivalries. And it just feels like a team will win the belt and then they'll have title defenses, but it never turns into an actual rivalry or storyline. And we've gotten maybe a handful of them, but the fact that we don't have that many memorable ones is a big part of the problem. But I also felt like when the witches beat them at Clash of Castle that this never felt like, all right, well, they're putting the titles on them and this is a lasting thing. I even when they lost felt like they're not done with Jade and Bianca. Like there's still room to do stuff with them as a tag team, and I do believe that they will win the tag titles back. Now, I don't know if I believe that's next week, but I do believe eventually they will win the belts back.
I do, man, you're right. I don't want to. I do think that they will win it. I don't want them to, though. I kind of want to see the Spooky Witches kind of take it a little bit longer. They're my favorite, bro. But, you know, like, but so is Jade. You know, I love Jade, too. So I'm like, all right, let's just. If they go with the Bianca and Jade thing, then they have to start having some, like, rivalries. They have to.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. Because it's just going to fall flat again.
Yeah, because the other issue, and, you know, this is just how I see they kind of do things as a company, how they've been building the story around the big three. I don't think they're ready for them to not have the titles yet because they've been kind of doing this interesting thing with Bianca where it seems like they're sort of teasing that she might turn heel because the whole time she's been basically like, oh, y'all like Bayley? I don't like Bayley, man. Like, trying to tell y'all for the longest that she does not like Bayley. So I think it's only a matter of time before she does have another singles match with Bayley, but I don't think that's yet. And I do think that there is going to be a split between them as a tag team. I just don't think they're ready to do it yet, because I have to imagine the end goal here is Jade versus Bianca.
Oh, big time.
But I think that's a big, massive pay-per-view match. I can't see them doing that this soon. I feel like that's something that they might be ready to do by WrestleMania next year, but I can't see it now.
That's 100% where I was going to go with it now and tell you that this, if it were to go down like that, a match between these two powerful beings would have to be a WrestleMania match, 100%.
Yeah. Also thought it was very interesting because by the end of the night, they did announce that the tag titles match will be next week. It will be on SmackDown. It's not going to be on SummerSlam. I don't really understand that either, which goes back to my initial point of, are we supposed to care about tag team wrestling or not? Because you made such a point of making tag team wrestling a big part of this episode. But by the end of the episode, we find out that neither of the tag title matches are on the SummerSlam card. They're both on SmackDown.
Crazy. Are they trying to pop a number, you think? Or is this just something that they just messed up and over-delivered and couldn't fit into the card?
Well, I mean, they've been doing the 7-match pay-per-view card for a minute. And so I get it. It seems like, you know, if any title match they can leave off, it usually ends up the tag titles. But I just wish they would give them the spot. Like, it kind of doesn't give me the best feelings about the results for next week.
Right,
it makes me feel like we're probably just going to get Jay and Bianca getting the win. It kind of gives me an odd feeling about the outcome of the gauntlet match, which we'll get into as well. But yeah, it's just, I would like to see the women's tag titles presented better. I want them to be in a prominent spot. I really dug that they gave Isla and Alba Fire the win in their home country. I thought that was a great moment for them, especially coming out of some of the tragedy coming out of that weekend. I thought that those girls deserved that moment. It was really cool to see that. But again, watching it, it never felt like, all right, we're going to push these two girls to the moon. Like, it never felt like, all right, we're fully invested in this team. It felt like we're still actually invested in Jade and Bianca. This is just kind of a roadblock.
Transitional champions, you know, someone who's just sitting there in the wings with a championship belt, kind of just waiting along. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that kind of seems like where we're going, but, very interesting. Very interested to see where that leads. Very interested to see how they start building up the women's War Games match later in this year. Because I assume we're going to get to that soon. It already seems like they're starting to plant the seeds for the men's match already. So very interested to see how the big three might play into that. And will Jade and Bianca get the belts back next week?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm so lost with the women's division, but let's rock.
I mean, there are things that I do like. We got a little bit of that later on, but WWE also played a recap of the live shows they're doing in Japan. Some of the talent are currently still out in Japan. That's why we got a taped episode of SmackDown this week. All of the stuff in Japan looks really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see Asuka back out in, you know, her home country in Osaka. It was really cool to see Damage Control back together, even if it's just momentarily. As a big fan of Mako Satomura, was very excited to see her. Very glad she is going to be getting a women's title match against Bayley coming up also on this live tour. The clip they showed, I don't remember if they showed it on the show, but they did show it online of Cody putting on Dusty's old robe and his hat.
The
robe
was really
cool. What'd you think of just all the stuff they've shown so far from the live shows?
You know, it's I've kind of been seeing what's been happening here in the States, you know, with like the amount of incredible crowds that they've been getting. Seeing the pay-per-view shows outside of the U.S. has been very eye-opening to kind of see how the fans have, like, you know, in both companies, by the way, in every company pretty much that's been going overseas, major company, AEW, WWE, they've been killing it. Japan is so, like, I love Japan so much. And, you know, when I watch these live shows, I tend to think, are they really open to the WWE style, right? Because they're very hard, you know, like hard hitting, like street fight kind of almost in Japan. And the crowd, man, it's just like the crowd is eating it up and I'm here for it. I love everything that's happening for wrestling in general, because I'm such a big fan, dude, that this business at a point there in the last 10 years almost seemed like it was at a really low point in every way. And now it's thriving so much and I'm enjoying it. I'm eating along with them. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a fan in the back end, but I'm eating with them.
Yeah, it's cool seeing just the differences of
of
WWE going to somewhere like the UK where they don't get a lot of the mainstream wrestling and seeing how excited they are, but also going somewhere like Japan where there's like a wealth of wrestling. Like there's a big wrestling scene in Japan, but the fandom that shows up for these shows is just a different vibe. Like they come in a cosplay, like if you saw any of the pictures outside of the show,
where
you had a bunch of the people dressed up as Bloodline guys, some people dressed up as Asuka and some of the other Japanese wrestlers. It's just cool. It's just a different energy around WWE shows in general. And that's usually everywhere, because usually when WWE comes to a town, they completely take over. And so, yeah, seeing it on an international level and in a place like in Japan where they have this thriving wrestling scene, it is very interesting. And it's the same way with the Mexican show they did a few weeks ago, where Mexico, of course, is known for its luchadors and known for its style of wrestling. But the crowd that shows up for these shows is just different.
I love it. I mean, when they did Backlash in Puerto Rico, I mean, I know it's Puerto Rico, but listen, the stories of wrestling in Puerto Rico are insane. I work with Freddie Prinze Jr. on Wrestling with Freddie, and he's told stories of being a young kid going to the shows, and it's insane the stuff of that happens down there. We all have known Cena, the Dark Side of the Ring, the story about what happened down there in Puerto Rico, people getting stabbed, so. You know, it's cool to see the fans down there as rabid as they are anywhere pretty much now. Like you said, in Mexico matches, it's just Japan. When they go to Bash at Berlin, like it's insane and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Very cool to see. Very cool to see that moment for Cody. It's still like in some way surreal just seeing him at this level, because I just remember him having that big indie run, going and starting AEW and just being the massive star he is now, and just seeing like this guy is incredibly over everywhere they go. Like there is no city, no country that this place goes and he doesn't get one of the loudest reactions. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely been getting that love, man, ever since he's been back at the company. At first, I thought he was just going to be something that they were going to kind of use because, you know, he did come from somewhere else. But obviously that's not it. And I'm here to see what, you know, the rest of the couple years that he's here with WWE, like what he pulls off and what he does, man.
Yeah. We got a brief segment, with the women right after this recap. We see Tiffany Stratton in the locker room with her busted up Money in the Bank briefcase that she now has taped together after Bayley stomped on it last week. I thought this was a good segment because it's continuing to plant the seeds between Tiffany and Nia. But it also is, of course, teasing that Tiffany's going to get a new briefcase.
Yeah, I wonder what it'll look like.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be like the Barbie pink.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was fine. I think they're continuing to do this who's going to turn on each other first thing with Nia and Tiffany. I think it's smart. I do think by the end of the year, Tiffany Stratton will be women's champion. I don't know when she'll cash in, but I do think by the end of this year, she will be champion.
Really? You think by the end of the year? I was thinking more or less it could happen for like one of the big pay-per-views coming in, you know, for the Netflix era. But you could be 100% correct. I mean, they could really end the year strong by having her freaking cash in. And that's like the last visual that you see on a, you know, on a show like Friday Night SmackDown, whether she's on there or not, and they do another, you know, draft or whatever, but just kind of seeing like that last thing on Fox, her holding that belt and saying, "I'm out. We're going to USA. You know, Raw's going to, you know, Netflix. We're starting a new era, and I'm the leader of the women's division in this new era."
Yeah. Speaking of which, we've got Raw going back to Sci-Fi next week, which is
the channel I can't find.
Yeah, if you remember that time period where WWE was on Sci-Fi, ECW on Sci-Fi.
ECW, big, yeah.
Big nostalgic moment when I saw that pop up on my TV. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Nia. I would like to see Nia get a run with the belt as well. I think Nia's been really, really great since she's been back. She looks incredibly dominant.
Dude, for real.
I don't know if I believe that she will win at SummerSlam, but I wouldn't be mad at it. I think it's a bit too soon to take the belt off Bayley, but Nia has been very great since she came back.
What do you think about the Bayley run? I told this to I told this to Kate as well. I feel like the Bayley run's kind of been okay. It hasn't been really like over the top. Like, and nothing has wowed me to the point where I'm like, man, she needs to keep the title on her. You know. You just mentioned it. A Nia win could be awesome for Nia, first of all. I love Nia Jax. And second, then that really opens the door for, like, Nia, you have to watch her back all the time, you know? And that makes things interesting when you have something like that happen. And if it's someone who's next to you, like Tiffy is right now, you really got to watch her back.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think also, even if Nia loses, you then have the idea of Bayley now has to watch her back with Nia also being teamed up with Tiffany.
Having her heavy, yeah, yeah.
So either way, I think it could be interesting. I do agree that they had such a great run up to WrestleMania with Bayley and EO and the damage control stuff. They had such a great storyline there. And I don't think the follow-up has been as good for Bayley. I think the follow-up for her as champion has been really lacking.
I agree with you, man. I told that to Kate. I'm like, man, I'm not trying to say it in a malicious way or me trying to be a Debbie Downer, but it's just, it hasn't really showed me. They haven't put the emphasis like they have on other champions, you know?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of across the board because it feels like Liv has kind of been in this holding pattern until Rhea came back. So she didn't have any real defenses as champion because it felt like, all right, nobody's really gonna beat her for this belt until Rhea comes back. So let's not even.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's. I don't know. I don't feel like they've been really using the women the best.
I just felt like with Liv, you're 100% correct. Liv hasn't had the same thing. She hasn't had like the defenses like that. She's just had a lot of screen time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think that is something she's had over Bayley, that at least she's getting screen time, at least she's in a prominent storyline. Bayley, it just kind of feels like we're waiting for her to get that real feud to sink her teeth in. And I kind of think that it's Bianca. I feel like she is going to challenge Bayley again before Bayley loses the title. I could be wrong, but it just feels like they've been leading in that direction for a while.
I definitely, yeah. No, I agree with you now. Damn.
We got one super chat from Will Chisholm. He says, it's crazy how we live in a world where Punk and Cody are in WWE and WrestleMania won't be there. And Drew is a hater of the year for that tweet. Yeah, what did you think? What did you think of this whole fiasco around Drew for the day being the biggest talking point when he dropped this picture with Jack Perry?
I'll tell you what, man. He is so calculative and so good at what he's been doing. Like, I think he was handcuffed for a while there with the past regime on what he can pretty much try and do, right? And he has really opened up the gauntlet now. He is so damn fun to like watch and listen to. That picture with when I opened up my phone and I'm flipping through, and I did a take. I closed it, and I'm like, he must be fucking with him. Ooh, excuse me. He must be messing with him. And I opened it back up. I'm like, it says, this is a real picture, Cry Me a River. I'm like, oh, my God, it's him. You know? Yeah. I thought that was freaking great. But, you know, the powers that be, I think, did not like that.
Yeah, I thought it was a great way to continue to play up the stuff.
Oh my God,
from
so
AEW
good.
With Funk. I thought it was smart of all people, Jack Perry. I thought that was very smart. I don't know if I buy into people that believe that Punk got upset and that's why he took it down, because everything since Punk has been back kind of reads like, all right, this is a work. Like the Rollins stuff very sure. clearly felt like a work.
Very clearly, yeah.
And I feel like the same way with the Drew stuff. This feels like a work. It feels like even if he's not getting the okay from Punk before he does it, I feel like they've got an understanding of what this is. And so this more felt like an office thing where the office was probably like, yeah, yes. maybe we don't want to promote a wrestler from another show.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I've said this on Twitter, and I've said this on other locations and other places. It's like, hey, you know, wrestling is the only place that doesn't acknowledge where people have been or what they've done. But you watch a baseball game, clearly someone will tell you that there was a Yankee player who was formerly a Red Sox. Yeah. Their biggest rivalry. You know, there is a New York Giant, a Philadelphia Eagle who was a New York Giant. Clearly, huge rivalry there. But wrestling is the only place where you existed in this one bubble, and that is it. There's no other wrestling anywhere.
Nothing else. I mean, and they've been a lot more lenient than they were sure. before Vince went away. Like they'll bring up stuff like New Japan. They'll bring up things like the Triple Tails and all these other wrestling fun facts. But I don't think that they want to promote what seems like their biggest competition in the U.S. Not even seems like their biggest competition in the U.S. and a company that has thrown shots at them. They've thrown shots back at them. I don't think that they would want to promote a wrestler from that brand.
Yeah, it's just it's so weird. I feel like it shouldn't even be a problem. Like you're not really promoting anything. You're not saying, hey, watch Dynamite next Wednesday night. No, like
no.
They're friends. These people are people. They're humans, you know?
Yeah.
They're acquaintances. They're meeting up for the first time. It's great to do this stuff, you know what I'm saying? But whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Hopefully in the next generation of wrestling promoters and people who work backstage, things would be different.
Yeah, I think it also works with the storyline as well, because they presented Drew as the spot where Punk was when he did the pipe bomb and he was the anti-authority guy. And now it's kind of flipped where Punk is company guy and Drew is the guy that's, you know, causing all of this trouble, and they're reprimanding him at every turn. And this kind of feels like when Punk was at that heat and he was tweeting things and they were like, hey, can you please take that down? So
sure.
I'm not sure what I believe. Maybe I just asked him to take it down. Maybe it's part of work. I don't know. Either way, it got people talking. So that's great.
It's wrestling. We never know what to work.
Yeah. See, we also got Evil Diva 1978 is a new member. Appreciate you.
Welcome.
We got another super chat from Will Chisholm. He says, I remember when Vince made Drew our history teacher with his promos. Yeah, oh man, some of those promos were brutal. Him coming out and telling stories, it was not working for him. This is night and day. He's, man, one of the most compelling heels in the company right now. I wasn't sure how well he could rebound, especially after losing at Clash and then losing again at Money in the Bank, failing to cash in, but he's still one of the most talked about wrestlers in the company, man.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where. I mean, I'm a big person on trying to see where the vibe is going, you know, and follow the lead of trends and whatnot on, especially in wrestling, to be honest. So I'm just kind of I like to sit back and let, you know, as the kids like to say, let things cook for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna get into really the meat of this episode, the tag team gauntlet.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I'm going to hit you with a word from our sponsor.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Appreciate you guys as always sending your super chats. We got one more from Jay Miller. He says, jelly roll over the tag title matches, I guess.
yes. Oh, my God.
But yeah, we got a pretty fun tag team gauntlet match. I thought it was entertaining on the whole. I was very confused to start because we opened with Corbin and Apollo Crews taking on the team from Legado del Fantasma and the Humberto and Alec Garza, and they were great. I thought they were great in this match, but I was like, all right, so. Again, you're telling me that tag team wrestling matters, and the team that is a tag team that has had history as a tag team,
thank you,
lost immediately to Corbin and Apollo Crews.
Thank
I was
you.
Confused by that.
It was, and not only that, man, is can Legado get a freaking break? I mean, they are just. They're just getting trampled every week, man. They get, mind you, a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever, they got a meaningful win. Okay, cool. Like I look, you know, but again, in a important fight that will take you to the next level of something greater than, you decided to let the dudes from NXT that just came back, who've barely ever been teamed up, you haven't teamed up together, beat an established tag team like Humberto and Angel, like or Berto, because they changed his name to the it's difficult, man. It's difficult to kind of want to rally and watch these things sometimes.
Yeah. I thought the first round matchup was fine. It was a solid back and forth between those two teams. But that was an odd decision for me to start off the gauntlet with the established team losing to a hodgepodge team straight away. And that kind of told me where we were going with this gauntlet to begin with, because, I mean, the outcome felt pretty predictable once you added Jacob in. But, yeah. I mean, just straight out the gate to have Garza and Humberto lose, I was like, that's a choice. And I mean, look, not for nothing. I thought Corbin and Apollo looked good throughout this gauntlet. I thought they looked good in the spots that they were in. They had some good chemistry together. But I would have preferred to see Legado del Fantasma move on.
Thank you. Yes.
But, you know, they, of course, beat them and then moved on to face the Street Profits in the next half of the gauntlet. Street Profits come in notably. With just B-Fab, there's no reference to MVP, but Bobby Lashley at all.
At all, man.
Which is very interesting. Of course, we got the news of that this week, that Bobby Lashley probably will be no longer with the company soon. Very jarring. Very jarring to see, but it's good that Street Profits are still very popular. I still like to see B-Fab with them. I think she fits perfectly with them, and I hope they keep the three of them together.
Very, very interesting, you know, to kind of have, again, unfortunately, Bobby, you know, MVP. Like, I'm a huge Bobby Lashley like guy, and you know, not that I the Street Profits kind of fizzled off for me when they were in that group. First of all, they kind of started getting their swag back towards the end of that run. Mm-hmm. But even now with this gauntlet, like, it just feels to me that they should have been a little bit better than just being fed to the bloodline. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they got the longest
stretch of the gauntlet, but again, it's just, I don't know. I guess I know that they're trying to make bloodline look super strong. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm just thinking too hard about it, but I like watching. This is my little freaking little soap opera. You know what I'm saying? It's my little getaway on a Friday night for 2 hours.
No, yeah. I get exactly what you mean. Because when they came in the next round, I knew that they probably were going to move on. And just the way they set up the gauntlet, the fact that Bloodline opened the show and all the stuff that, like, the second they put Jacob in, they're not going to give Jacob a loss this early on. Mm-hmm. And the way that Jacob just, you know, completely cleaned out the ring and beat four other guys basically by himself. I figured that if he's in this, they're not going to lose. And so I was thinking that the entire time that Street Profits were going on their run that, okay, this is leading up to them being tired out for the match with the sure. Bloodline. But yeah, I thought that the exchange with Apollo and Corbin was fun. They had some fun offense in this against Street Profits. I thought the move where Apollo throws Corbin out the ring for the tope, I thought that was clean.
Yes.
I thought all the exchanges back and forth between Montez and Apollo were dope. Apollo is incredibly talented, incredibly athletic. Man, can move around like a cruiserweight, is incredibly strong, just a gifted wrestler all around. And so all of his spots with Montez, I was very much here for them. When they stopped at one point and looked at each other like they were going to attack each other and then just went separate ways and did the suicide dives, I thought that was clean. All around good, but of course, the Street Profits ended up picking up the win, pinned Apollo to move on to the next section of the gauntlet. Not much of a shocker there, but it was entertaining. I thought that, again, Corbin and Apollo filled their spot well. Just an odd way to start the gauntlet.
It was very odd, but you know what? Like you mentioned, I mean, it is what it is, but they got it right here with you know, with them getting... you know, getting defeated by Montez and Angelo in that second wave. So,
yeah, it would look crazy if they came in straight away and beat two established teams. Dude, I'd have been like, what's going on here? but yeah, of course, they moved on to the second spot and they took on Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly was the next team up. Pretty Deadly also coming up from NXT. They had a lot of momentum when they initially came up. Then they got stifled a little bit by injuries because they had to take some time off. And I don't think that they've quite regained that momentum that they initially had, which is unfortunate because I thought that they were one of the best acts that came up. And currently, SmackDown's tag team division, it has a lot of promise. They got a lot of good teams over there. And I saw that straight away watching this gauntlet. It's like, okay, you got Legado. You got Pretty Deadly. You got OC still. Get to it, man. Push these teams. You got DIY still. You still have Waller in theory, which I don't know how much longer we're going to have that. We'll get into that in a second. But you've got tag teams here. So, man, get to it and push the tag teams.
Yeah, I feel bad for Pretty Deadly. They're another group that I kind of was so behind, and they just, again, kind of dropped, unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought that they had a pretty good back and forth with Street Profits as well. I'm glad that they didn't linger on this too long. It wasn't one of those long, all right, the baby faces have to have this super long stretch of being in the ring. like you said earlier, it was very fast paced offense. They got through each team pretty quick. It seemed like Pretty Deadly wasn't out there that long, but I thought that they were effective as heels, cutting off the ring, keeping Angelo in their side of the ring, keeping Tez in their side of the ring. And I thought that looked good, because that's tag team wrestling at its finest, you know.
Sure.
Coming straight in and trying to go for the pin attempts immediately to capitalize off the fact that Street Profits were tired out already.
Yes.
I thought that was also smart. They worked really well here, but of course, they also took the loss to Street Profits. Street Profits moved on. They moved on next to face OC. It was nice to see the Hoots. We don't get to see them that often. AJ Styles, of course, hasn't been seen on TV since the Cody match. Really, really good match with Mara Fuji at Pro Wrestling NOAH. If you have not seen it, incredible match. But yeah, OC filled their spot well. They were kind of just another team to fill that spot right before the Bloodline came up and continued to tire out Street Profits. I thought they worked well in that vein, but Street Profits, of course, beat them as well to move on. And then that's when we got to the heat of this match with the Bloodline, Jacob and Tama Tonga taking on a very tired out Street Profits. As we said earlier, pretty predictable outcome once you added Jacob to the mix. But I thought this was strong. I thought Jacob looked incredible. His offense, this guy is just, he's the one. Every time I see this guy wrestle, I'm just like, this guy is incredible, man. He moves really, really well. He's got really good facial expressions. He's got really good charisma. Solo outside of the ring, interjecting.
Yeah.
It was great. Solo out there in his pea coat, interjecting every now and then and doing all of his like gestures. At one point, Angelo was hung up on the ropes and Solo snuck in and got a punch on him. And then he turned around to the camera and he's doing like all of this. I thought all of that was very funny. And Solo outside of the ring taunting, and then Jacob turns up to him. He's like, "Thank you, my tribal chief. I love you." All of this was hilarious.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Jacob is just, he's on point with things like that, you know. And Solo has stepped it up, man. I can't think, no complaint there.
Yeah, I thought that everybody played their roles very well here. Go figure. Gorillas of Destiny, that was their tag team while they were in Japan. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. They're very good at playing a part of an ensemble cast of guys, because they were in a stable for a long time with Bullet Club. And I thought that they were very, very funny at several points through this match as well. Tonga Loa playing up this eye injury still. Tama Tonga, for whatever reason, continues to do this growling thing that I don't know what it's supposed to be. But it's still very funny every time he does it.
Oh, God, that's great.
So, yeah, there's a bit in the match where, again, they're doing all the stuff on the outside. They're doing all of the shenanigans. And you can hear Tama Tonga on the mic doing the crowd next to the camera. So funny.
Like he does that on purpose, which is great. I mean, he might just have camera awareness and he's just growling just to growl.
Oh,
great, man.
But yeah, this was essentially, it was a vehicle for Jacob to make Jacob look like the star that he is. He got most of the offense in this match. He absolutely annihilated Montez throughout the end of this match. I felt very bad for him because he did the DDT spot. He did the DDT spot, and of course, Samoans have hard heads. So Jacob jumped right back up right away and just looked at him like he's crazy. Hit him with the flops, hit him with the pop-up Samoan drop, and then put him away with that incredible moonsault he does. Man, that moonsault looked clean, too.
He got far too on there, man.
The air he got on it,
that
looked fantastic. To nobody's surprise, Bloodline picks up the win here. They will be going on to face DIY for the tag team championships next week on SmackDown. like I said, predictable outcome, but I think it's fine for the stories that they're telling going into SummerSlam. I do very much wonder, because the DIY just won the belts and they haven't had the belts the whole month.
Please stop. No.
So
WWE is synonymous with letting people lose in their hometown.
Yeah, they're going into Cleveland. And that was another reason why I'm like, okay, the pay-per-view is in Cleveland. Gargano's from Cleveland. You're not going to give them the title match on the pay-per-view? I know. Interesting choice, but I don't know what to make of this, because I could very much see the tag team titles changing hands next week. I want to be wrong by that, but everything in this match kind of tells you that that could happen, because the established teams got beat very quickly in this gauntlet match, and I just don't see Jacob taking a loss.
Where's SmackDown in Cleveland as well?
I believe it is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's because what then.
Yeah, we got the Logan Paul thing as well. Logan Paul.
Yep, they're definitely losing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That'd be a nice surprise for that episode of SmackDown for DIY to retain. It is definitely too soon for them to drop the titles, but
oh man, yeah.
It just felt like the writing was on a wall right after they lost the belt. They won the belts. Jacob came out straight away and beat everybody down. It's like, okay, are we supposed to care about this win or not?
Sure. Because, right.
I don't know, man. The other part about it is anybody that could help, maybe Cody comes in and helps them retain. That's the only thing I could see. Because Cody doesn't have any friends right now. Randy Orton and KO are completely taken out. So maybe the Bloodline doing the shenanigans in the match on SmackDown and trying to help Jacob and the guys win the belts. Maybe, just maybe, Cody comes out and helps the good guys win. I just want to hope that they're not going to just immediately take the belts off DIY like that.
Yeah, I think there's some shenanigans will play along here, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't have the best vibes about it, so I don't know. This could go either way. I could very much see Bloodline winning next week.
Sure.
I also think that they're doing a lot of teasing going into SummerSlam. I have to assume that that is where Roman Reigns will be making his return. They've done a lot of hinting that that's the case. We're seeing them mention Roman a lot more on TV. We're getting the We Want Roman chance a lot more in the crowd. Solo's mentioned him multiple times now in promos. Him saying in the one promo, like, hey, if he wants to take the title from me after I'm done, that he can come get it from me. I feel like that is, there's a lot of really, really wink, wink, heavy, heavy nudging that, look, Roman might be back.
I mean, it sure looks that way. And, you know, it's enough time has passed that you kind of don't, he doesn't even need to get involved in anything. He's just, his music just needs to pop. Yeah. And it'll be like a nuclear bomb just went off.
Yeah. I have to assume that he'll probably come out to end the night. I don't think that he's going to get involved in anything. But I have to assume that'll probably be the end of the night. Let's see, from Will Chisholm, sent us a super chat. He says, I think Jimmy comes back and costs them the title. I could see that. I do think that we've got to get Jimmy back in play soon. But I don't think we see Jimmy before we see Roman, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe in tandem, like one after the other, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, either way, I just would hate to see DIY get this really short title run. That would really suck.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a few more segments to get into in the main event. But before we get into that, this is where Sean Ross Sapp would throw in some kind of pun and get us into our Blue Chew ad. I don't have a pun for you guys because I'm not nearly as good at this as our fearless leader. But I don't know. If you want to stay up for nights after SmackDown, Blue Chew is your way to go, I guess.
You know, spring has sprung, but maybe your penis hasn't. Blue Chew and the code Fightful is going to fix that. Whether you're in the mood or you're trying to get in the mood, Blue Chew and the code Fightful has you covered. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know they work. But it comes to you discreetly. You're not going to have everybody at the pharmacy or the doctor's office be like, what's he getting? Because somebody else is getting a little something once you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. You meet with an online physician, and if approved, it arrives straight to your door discreetly. And how about this? How about free? You just pay $5 shipping. That's it. Pay $5 shipping. And you're going to have that performance, that main event performance, that confidence. It's not just for people with a problem performing sexually. It's for that confidence, that main event. Blue Chew and the code Fightful.
Listen, maybe if DIY wants to go into next week with some confidence, maybe if they want to come into that with some main event confidence, Blue Chew may be the way for them to go as well.
Hell yeah.
Very concerned for them going into SmackDown next week, but, you know.
We'll see where they go.
This is where we are.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of has a cool down spot right after this tag team gauntlet match. We got Grayson Waller and Austin Theory coming back out, and they called out Terrence Crawford after the stuff with him from last week. I thought this was a great way to get Terrence Crawford back on. Terrence Crawford also appeared early on in a backstage segment with the Street Profits. And Montez used the Terrence Crawford line from the Kendrick record, which I thought was really funny. It's still funny like that. We're a ways away from April and we're still getting a lot of the Drake and Kendrick lines. It's so funny. But yeah, Terrence Crawford was cool here. I thought this was a good way to get him on television again. They're continuing to seemingly tease a split between Theory and Waller. And it seems like they're teasing making Theory a babyface, which is interesting.
I told that to Kate. I was like, I think that he would be the one, because it seems to me like Waller's kind of just trying to turn on him at every freaking chance that he gets. He's throwing him into situations that he's not even asking for. Yeah. So, I mean, in every single time that they're out there in the ring with a third person or with another team, Waller just says, hey, why don't you do this? Why? So,
yeah. He's constantly doing things like pulling him into a dive or pulling him in a way and letting him get beat up by somebody. And the same thing happened in the segment. Waller was out there, you know, talking his shit, you know, taunting Crawford here. Very dangerous man to continue to taunt. He's just like, nah, we're not afraid of you at all. And Theory's looking around like, wait a minute, we? And he said, yeah, Theory will fight you. And he throws Theory in there. And Theory takes a punch for the team, gets laid out by Terrence Crawford. And Waller's just standing there after he started this whole thing with his hands up like, huh? Not my fault. I thought all of this was funny. I thought it was a great segment to kind of tie between the gauntlet match and get us into the main event later in the show. But yeah, it seems like they're trying to go back to making Austin Theory a babyface. I don't know what to make of that. It did not go well the first time they tried to do this. I don't know how it will go this time, because the thing is, Waller is very, very good as a heel. And so I think that he can do as best as he can to get heat on himself and get people to cheer Theory. But I don't know how sustainable that is.
Yeah, I don't. It's just, you know, the problem is that Theory just doesn't come off ever as a good guy. Ever. And he tries so hard, and you always like, when is the other shoe going to drop? Like, you just don't sound genuine. That's the problem. He never has had the training, unfortunately, to sound genuine enough for you to care about him. You're genuinely waiting for him to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, Theory just works better from what we've seen so far as a heel. And so I'm very curious why they're so insistent on trying to make this guy a good guy and put him in these spots. they've had multiple experiments with this guy. Of course, we had the Vince run with the gold egg and all of that stuff where he was still doing the influencer stuff. Then we had the Money in the Bank run. We had the U.S. title run. We had this tag title run. And now we're back to yet another attempt to get Theory over. And I just don't know how well it's going to work.
Yeah, no, same. I'm gonna hold off on that one.
But we'll see. So far, I like what they're doing with the two of them. It's inevitably going to lead to some kind of split, which it's kind of unfortunate because I did like them as a tag team. But you could already see that Waller, out of the two of them, he has the best future as a heel. He has it. He has the charisma. He can talk. He works well. He's got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% correct. He has the look, everything is there except the caring. For some reason, I just can't get behind him.
Yeah. But even like the stuff he does online, I think he's just got it, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He knows how to kind of rile people up. He knows how to work things. Even when he was in Australia and he was doing things, he's got it, man. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing him get the singles push as a heel. I'm not so sure what the next Theory singles push looks like, but I guess we'll see.
Well, I'm with you, brother.
We got Cody Rhodes in his interview from over in Japan. I thought the presentation for this was good. I thought everything he said in it, I thought worked. I'm glad we got something different this week with Cody because I was getting tired of him coming out every week and trying to fight four guys by himself and get beat down. Man. We saw it like 3 weeks in a row. I'm just like, please do something else with this guy, man.
Or crying in the ring.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this was away from the ring and you kind of got a little, you know, one-on-one with him and telling his feelings without someone jumping him, without him getting into an argument, without someone bringing his father up. Like, you know, it's just natural occurrence of someone who has to think about what's happening around him and the situation that he's in.
Yeah. Well, I thought all the story beats they told here were very interesting. He said some things that again, lead me to believe that we're going to see Roman because you know, he brought up how he had to work through beating the bloodline the first time and how it was such a tough experience for him and how he had allies on his side getting into WrestleMania. And then after WrestleMania, how he felt guilt going up against this new bloodline that he got those guys taken out for trying to protect him. And so I do think he's going to be alone this time. He's going to be alone on the island going into SummerSlam and facing Solo Sikoa and his three henchmen. But I do hope, at least, that this isn't just another bloodline match where they're just interfering the whole time and he's trying to get around that. I hope that, you know, it's at least somewhat of a straightforward match.
I agree with you. I want it to be, you know, let these guys beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah. But this served its purpose. I thought this was good. Right after that, we got the main event, which was Bayley and Meechan taking on Tiffany Stratton, Nia Jax. I thought this was a pretty good tag match. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, man, the girls, I love when the girls get time and get to do, you know, tell a story in the ring and hard hitting. They know what they're doing. I love the you know, the stuff happening behind a ref, her using the briefcase in the way that she does, like, very smart. I like what they're doing with these, with Tiff and Nia, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, they didn't, what do you call it? Mia Yim, you know, she's just such, she's so much smaller than even Bayley and Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. That I felt like she kind of got lost in the shuffle there. Like, these women are strong, like, especially like Tiff, man. Tiff looks like she can punch me through a wall, bro. But other than that, the girls cooked, bro. I love watching them get time, like I said before.
Yeah, I love seeing Mia Yim Mia Chin, you got me with this.
Guy. Yeah, I got
you. You pulled me in, Mia Chin. Thanks a lot, buddy. Mia Chin. I love seeing Mia Chin in this main event spot. I love seeing them use her more here.
Hell yes.
But it was a spot here where she got attacked on the outside, and Bayley's just getting throttled in the ring. And I'm like, man, where is Mia at? And they kept cutting back to her, wincing in pain and like rolling around the barricade. I'm like, okay, she's still down. And so they cut back to Bayley. She's getting beat up some more, and she's still over there laying down. I'm like, yo, you got to get up. Get up.
This is what I mean. These women are beating the crap out of me. And Mia Chin is on the outside of the ring still wincing in pain, like, oh, I can't get back in there, bro. They're going to kill me.
Yeah, so that bit of it was funny. Of course, Luis is correct. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats, guys. That bit of it was unintentionally funny how they kept cutting back to her once you get pain. And, like, for whatever reason, they kept zooming in on her face, just groaning in pain. But
and you're waiting to see if maybe the cameraman's going to give her a cue, like, I think it's time for you to get up.
Get up. But, yeah, everybody played their roles well here. I thought that Tiffany and Nia Jax had great chemistry here. I thought the way that they played off each other was really good. The spots where Nia would hold Bayley into the corner and get out of the way just in time for Tiffany to do a splash on her, or, you know, she would throw her into Tiffany and they do like a tag team move. I thought all of that stuff looked great. It definitely showed for most of the match that the heels had it together, that they came into this with a plan, and the baby faces were very, very much not prepared. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that dynamic of it. Nia came out of this looking great. She
looked strong, man.
Looked really, really good by the end of the match. Of course, she picked up the win with the Annihilator by the end. That move looks devastating. They've definitely put over here, if you get hit by that move, it's lights out. That's it. And if Bayley gets hit by that move at SummerSlam, she probably will lose her title. So I thought this was a great way to end SmackDown. I thought this was a great way to continue to promote for SummerSlam, promote this match for SummerSlam. There were some odd choices here. I still think it's an interesting choice to put neither of the tag matches on the pay-per-view. But overall, I thought this was a strong episode.
Yeah, you know, as we said it in the beginning, it was a very kind of like you knew it was people were missing and, you know, very, you know, like, especially with that segment with the gauntlet stuck in the middle there, but fairly well paced. Got some good matches out of it. I'm not hating on it.
No. A-Shock asked, what did you both have for dinner? And buddy, I sat here and ate a cup of noodles while I was watching SmackDown. That's pretty much what I ate.
Oh man, I made pork chops on the grill with corn on a cob. I mean, I just threw everything on the grill. And yeah, man, just had a little feast. That was me today.
Yeah, it's kind of the time of the year where if you can't get out and grill, why not?
Oh, dude, hell yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of at the last minute. I wanted to run out and come back, but I was like, oh, SmackDown's about to start, so I guess we're about to throw this cup of noodles in the microwave.
Yeah, there we go.
Quick and easy peasy.
Party on, baby. Let's go.
Let's see. I don't believe we have any more Super Chats or Humper Chats. We ended the episode with the Bloodline promo. They've been doing that quite often now where we're doing the backstage stuff. I love the way they present them. Where Solo's at the front of the screen and the other three are standing behind them. I made this analogy when I was talking to a friend about it, where if the original Bloodline was very much like the mobster movies, like Goodfellas, and like it has like the La Costa Nostra vibe to it, his version of the Bloodline feels like New Jack City. Like they've got the black on, they have the chains.
It
feels like CMB Brothers. And so,
oh my gosh,
I really enjoy that presentation. I think Solo is in a spot where you're not supposed to like him. He's supposed to feel like a fraud, but I think he plays the role very well. I think he's done well with the spots they've given him.
Yeah, Solo has definitely grown into what he is now. It didn't look like that in the beginning, but most certainly by where we're at now and for the future, he looks like a leader. He looks strong. He looks like someone who can pretty much baby Roman kind of style, like where he's, you know, commands the room.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because I feel like they've given us two guys that have kind of tried to step in and take Roman's mantle. And Jimmy did it, and he looked like a joke right away. And yeah, all along throughout the entire time as the original Bloodline, they were pretty much showing you that Solo is taken more seriously. He's the enforcer. Yeah. He looks like a threat. Even Roman was like giving him the second look sometime, like, wait a minute. Like, this guy, I might need to worry about him. But then when you see him actually take on the role and Roman's not there, it's like, well, wait a minute. As imposing as you can be, you're still not Roman.
Correct. And
so I think that it showed here, and I think it showed straight away that unlike the rest of them, where you can make the point that he needed the Bloodline to win sometimes, Roman, but he still was the biggest star of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it feels like it's Jacob. Jacob has helped them win all of the big matches. They won at Money in the Bank because of Jacob. They won the Gauntlet match because of Jacob. It feels like they're coasting off of Jacob.
That's it. That's where it'll be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah, there was another bit we didn't go before we get out of here. I think we have one more super chat. What did you think of this Carmelo Hayes and Andrade segment?
Oh, yeah. The match was great, but outside of that, I'm like, all right, cool. Where's this leading to? You know, yeah, so, like...
I was very interested to see where we're going because the match last week was very good. It was a
very
banger.
Good. Yes.
And so when we cut back to them... this time, and Byron's talking to Andrade in the backstage, I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? Carmelo steps back in and he's saying basically like, I'm not finished with you yet, just because you won last time doesn't mean anything. And I thought Andrade was great in this segment. I thought he was very likable. It felt very much like some of the AEW segments where you do just let him get some lines in English, mm-hmm. and he's pretty funny. Like when he first started, he was like, no, this is over. You lost. You miss sometimes. And so I thought all of that was great. Him calling him Bronny towards the end was very funny.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
Melo tells him that, you know, everybody has an off game sometimes. Even LeBron has an off game sometimes. I had an off night last week, but I'm not done with you. I am going to beat you. And Andrade immediately comes back with, you're not LeBron James, though. You're more like Bronny. You're Bronny Jr. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, man. Besides the match, like, you know, yeah, the interaction was pretty fun, but I'm still kind of like, I want to know what we're doing with these two. Like, where is this headed?
Yeah, you know,
and like I mentioned before, I'm the type of person who I'll sit here and I'll let things coast and see where they go. I don't want to question it too much. They had an incredible match. Where do we build off of that?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a rematch. I do think the match would be good. But,
yeah, man.
But again, where are we going after that? I agree with you. What's the end goal?
Sure.
See, our last super chat we've got from Will Chisholm. Appreciate you, Will Chisholm, sending a couple super chats.
Hey, for sure, man. Thank you so much.
He said that Bloodline promo do look like they smoke out the room. Yeah, somebody was definitely... smoking them out in there. It looks like that every time. They got a ton of smog and smoking these things. I don't know where they're at, but fun presentation. I do enjoy it. This was a solid episode of SmackDown. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys enjoyed us doing the post show this time. Kate will be back next week. Next week I will be hosting the post show for SummerSlam with my graphic co-host, Righteous Reg. And of course, you can find us at our regular time on Saturday at noon. We will be hitting you with the podcast. You got anything coming up, Alex, that you want to promote?
Hey man, all I do is work, so you guys can follow me on X at underscore Alexis Cardoza. You can follow me on Instagram, Alexis Cardoza, and you know, I'll be posting everything I do, so you guys just stay tuned and let's work.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. This has been a fun one. Hopefully you guys enjoy SmackDown and Ring of Honor. A lot of wrestling this weekend. We got G1 coming up. But this has been SmackDown's post show. I'm Phil Lindsay. It's Alex. We are out of here.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.